Today's daf from the Sechet Nida is daf Chof Gimel, and we got up to V'hocha Mai Pircha Ika. You will remember that yesterday we learned that the difference between a Gzer Shava that is Mufna Mitzadech and a Mufna Mishnei Tzadim is, according to one approach, that if it's Mufna on the Mitzadech, you can learn the Gzer Shava, but if there's a question, then you're not able to apply the Gzer Shava. And that was the reason that we explained that we're going to take the Gzer Shava of Yetzira Yetzira instead of Bria Bria, and we will learn out Behema V'Oth from Adam, but not Taninim. That's how we had come. The problem is we're not really aware of any particular issue that we're saying that there's got to be, if there's a Pircha, which Pircha was there that we were so concerned about one third of the way down. So V'Hocha, my Pircha, Ika, where is the problem? That if we would have learned it from Bria, since Bria is not Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, that we wouldn't have been we would have been unable to apply the Gzer Shava. Says the Gemara, because there is a question. The question is like this. Shum the Ika Mifrach, you could say that it doesn't make sense to learn out Tuma from the birth of a Baal Chai, from an Adam, because Mal Adam Shekein Metamei Mechayim. A human being, if he touches something Tamei, even though he's alive, becomes Tuma. So it makes sense that if someone is Mapelet, is Mutadam, then she would be Tameya. Mashenkin Baalei Chayim, which are out of the realm of the set of Tuma, at least insofar as being Mekabel Tuma while they're alive is concerned, it makes sense to say that it's less likely that being Mapelet to Mutam is going to cause Tuma, because they are really much more distant from connection to Tuma than an Adam is. Therefore, it makes sense to learn out the Gzeres Shava from Vayitzer, which is Mufna from both sides, to teach us that if you're Mapelet Mut Behima, since it says Yitzira by Behima, you're Tumea Leida. Because even though we have this problem of Matami Mechayim, since the Gzeres Shava is Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, we don't have to worry about it. But if we would try to learn the Gzeres Shava from Bria, we'd be stuck. V'chein Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Avraham Rabbi Yochanan, Hainu Taimid Rabbi Meir, Hayov V'nem Rabo, Yitzira Ke'adam. That's exactly the same thing that we learned yesterday, that the Pshat in Rabbi Meir is that Rabbi Meir holds, since it says Yitzira by Behema and Oth, therefore Behema Chai of Oth are also Metame if a human is Mapelet Avlad, but Surah Tam. Omar le Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Bar Ava, according to you, that the story is that we learned that from Gzera Shava, from Vayitzer, then why not apply that Gzera Shava to every place that it says Vayitzer? So let's say that, it's a little ridiculous question, as you'll see, but let's say that the woman gives birth to a mountain. So obviously this would mean a model of a mountain. So if the ima was mapelet demutar, so she should be tmeya leida because it says hine yotzer harim uvarei ruach. Answers the Gemara, I'm like, oh, come on. You know that she couldn't really have given birth to a mountain. What would her pregnancy have looked like? So obviously you mean the model of a mountain. So, I mean, why don't we call a spade a spade? I mean, she gave birth to a big stone. Well, doesn't say anything about that. Evan need to come up pellet, and that's called a gush. It has nothing to do. Where do you find the word Yetzira on a stony thing? Marley, so Kribar Avasitra Rabami. So, Harkar, let's just read Harmi come up pellet. It's an Evan need to come up pellet, and that's called a gush. Yes, the Gemara of Miata, if you're telling me the Rebbe Meir's for it, because we learned it out from Gzera Shava, then why do we say all along that if this was a pregnancy, it was basically a false pregnancy, because I'm a pellet ruach. There's nothing there, really, except an amniotic sac, which has nothing in its air. She's a pellet ruach, but nonetheless, she should be tmeya leida, because it says, uvorei ruach. Yotzerarim, uvorei ruach. So that means bria applies just to air. And we should learn out of Gzera Shava that is considered to be a real delivery. And maybe you'll tell me you can't learn that Gzera Shava because the word uvore that is said by Ruach is not considered to be extra, and therefore we can't learn it out. So it's a low mufna. Says the Gemara, that's not true. It is mufna, because it could easily have said, Midahavi leila michtav yotzer harim v'ruach, right? Instead it says yotzer harim uvorei ruach. Okay, so apparently Shema Amina laf liyeh. The point of that is to tell me that we have an extra pasuk to make gzera shama. Amalei said Rabbi Baravat Rabami, look, there's no such thing as gzera shava from a pasuk that doesn't apply in Chamisha. It doesn't appear in Chamisha Kum Sheter. So what's the point of bringing me a pasuk from Amos? You can learn a kavachom gzera shava of divrei Torah and divrei Torah. You can't learn gzera shava of divrei Torah from divrei Kabbalah. And therefore, the whole discussion is irrelevant. Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Let's take a different approach. Everyone's approach until now has been that Rabbi Meir holds that imot me'a leida because of gzera shava. Basically, it's not meant to make any sense. It's just that Torah uses the same word. I say, Hainatayim with Rabbi Meir, the reason Rabbi Meir says that these particular species are considered to be a metame leida is because hove inehem domeut kishaladam. Since their eyes are shaped, are shaped round, that is to say, that the shokar shaba'ayin, the cornea, is round, so therefore they are considered to be mine adam, asha inking. By fish, they're oval, and that doesn't count. Well, I mean, if that's the only reason, so then why would we not say that I'm a peradimut nachash? Because the galgal ayin of the nachash is arbu kishel adam, and yet that's what Rabbi Meir holds. Because maybe you'll try to tell me he does hold that. Why didn't he say it? He should have said nachash if he's listening. It's very striking that it would include nachash too. It says the Gemara because itana nachash. I would have said that maybe it's only Nakash that the Rabbanan are arguing about. But Behema V'chaya, maybe the Rabbanan would have agreed on that, because over there by Behema V'chaya it says Yitzira. And they would think that the Svar of Rabbi Meir, or this is the equivalent of the Svar of Rabbi Meir, that they would agree to. It's just that Rabbi Meir's thinking one additional step, that he's including Nakash also. Therefore, we wanted to make certain that we understood that the machlokas was across the board. So the Gemara, I don't understand. When you're talking about the similarity of these minim, in the Mishnah that lists what is considered to be a mum of, over there it's talking about the mumin of Behemoth, the apostle. So it says about an animal, and there it happens to be talking about the Bechiras. So it says, Echigalgal eno ago kishaladam. Now I'm very confused. It's considered to be a mum, that is to say, it's an unusual occurrence, certainly not normal, for an animal's eye to resemble a human eye. And you're saying the reason that a woman who's mapelet to behema is to mea is because an animal eye is similar to a human's eye. So how could the Mishnah be commensurate with that opinion? There it says, and it says the Gemara, well, it depends which part of the eye we're talking about. Lokasha, haba uchma, by an animal, the black part of the eye, uchma means black, is ago kishaladam. But the entire socket, the batsiria, is not ago. And therefore, when it comes to mumin, a mum it is, in terms of the overall description, it's similar to Adam. That's what we're looking for. There's really no comparison in the two. Rabbi Yanai Omer, I have a third explanation. You know why Rabbi Meir holds that these particular mumim are considered to be metame a mother? Hainu time at Rabbi Meir, holde enehem hochot lifnehem kishel Adam. The answer is that you have two eyes focusing forward, providing three-dimensional vision, just like with humans. Masha Inken, a snake, has eyes on either side of its head, moves its head back and forth in order to provide its brain with that information. A fish also has to keep moving its head back and forth. And therefore, even forget about the shape of the eye. It's not looking forward like a human is. So then how do you include birds? Birds, you said birds. Birds don't have eyes in front of their heads. Birds have eyes on the side of their heads. So Hare Ov, the Inenav, Ochot Lefanav, and yet you included them. And Rabbi Meir said that they are Tameh, just like the animals. Amar Abaye, well, it's a misunderstanding of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir did not mean normal birds. He was talking about Dafka Kirya Vikifufa. He's talking Dafka about the kind of birds that their eyes actually do look at you from the front, like an owl, for instance. So that kind of bird looks at you, and that's why we actually ascribe wisdom to owls, because they look intelligent because they look like people in that sense. So it's an entirely different look. It's a very strange look for a bird. That's what he was referring to, where he says the guy has an owlish look. So the baby over here was born with an owlish look. He's saying that owlish look is human. Asked the Gemara, really? B'sharo fodlo? You're telling me that Rabbi Meir didn't make a blanket statement that applied to all types of birds, that Imo would be Tamei Leida with a mutation that was bird-like? Meitve, what about this brighter? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Nirin devir Rabbi Meir bivema v'chaya. I think Rabbi Meir is right when it comes to a behema v'chaya, but it's Nirin li devir chachamin when it comes to Ofot. Now, I mean, what would be the point of making this kind of distinction? What did he refer to when he referred to Ofot? You're claiming that the only Ofot that Rabbi Meir was talking about were the Kirya Vikifufa. So my Ofot, Ilema Bekirya Vikifufa, which you say is what Rabbi Meir was referring to, then I don't understand. If the point is Yetzira, if you hold of Yetzira, then you have to hold of Yetzira across the board. If you're making a distinction between birds and animals, then what possible difference is there between a bird that has a human face in the sense of facing forward, or an animal that has a human face in terms of facing forwards? So, Maishna Behema V'chaya, there you hold like Rabbi Meir, undoubtedly because Einehem Ochot Lifneihem Kishel Adam. But if that's the case, if Rabbi Meir was only referring, as you're saying, to Kariya V'kifufa, so then they're also Ochot Lifneihem Kishel. So what's the difference? So now, you should paskin like him also, that the mother would be Tamei Leida. Elapshita, that you're not referring to Kariya V'kifufa. You're referring to other birds. So you're saying, look, Rabbi Meir makes sense with Kariya V'kifufa and with Behema. But he doesn't make sense when he's talking about birds in general. So, but that means the Rebbe Meir holds all birds. Michal the Rebbe Meir pligi b'sharo fotzum mashma, that in fact Rebbe Meir was the one who was talking about the other birds. No, says the Gemara, you misunderstood the entire statement. Chisuri mechaser, look, the Braita is not very clear. What it really says is like this. Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, near in, I believe that Rabbi Meir is right about Behema V'chaya, and of course about Kariya V'kifufa as well. And it's nearing, actually, the Divrei Chachomim, even to Rabbi Meir. Not that I'm saying, even Rabbi Meir agrees, B'shar Ofot. So therefore, of course, what the Chachomim say is true, because Af Rabbi Meir no lachalaki mayim. Rabbi Meir never meant to disagree with them on birds in general. Therefore, I'm saying it's nearing Lee to Paschal like Rabbi Meir, and we'd all agree, including Rabbi Meir, that the Divrei Chachamim are correct, B'sharofot. And indeed, Vatanya, there actually is a Braita that spells this out. Omar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok, a mapelet, min beima v'chaya, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, it's considered to be a Vlad, the Divrei Chachamim, ain't a Vlad. When it comes to Ofot, then you've got to take a closer look. Ubo Ofot Tibadek. Now, what does that mean? Laman Tibadek. According to who are we saying? Check it out and make a determination. That's got to be, that means, Alibet Rabbi Meir, check out whether it's a type of bird, like a Kariya V'kifufa, where its eyes are in front of its head, that over there in the halacha is that the mother would be Tamei Leida. And if not, B'shar Ofot, then, yeah, and then there's no problem. Then there would be no Tumas Leida. So in other words, if we're making a distinction between Ofot, where you need to check it out, and Bema Vakaya, where you don't need to check it out, obviously, that is the distinction. And that proves this approach in Rabbi Meir. Om Rav Acha B'Rei D'Ravika. Actually, you don't have to say that. Look, you could say that the Braita is not going like Rabbi Meir. You could say that the Braita means Tibadek Alibed Rabbona. Because the Rabbonin are saying that Dafka Karya V'Kifufa is indeed to Meir later, but Sharafot are not to Meir later. That's what we thought was meant by our original Braita. So you can't prove to me that I was wrong in suggesting that Alibed Rabbi Meir, even other Ofot, are to Meir Tumas later. And the Rabbonin argue about other Ofot, and they say Dafka Karya V'Kifufa. Yes, the Gemara, if you're right, but the Chachomim are actually made it, that a Karya V'Kifufa Sura on the Vlad, the mother would be Tmei Aleda, so then why would they disagree about Behema V'Chaya? I don't understand. If the point is that it's Yitzira, so then it's across the board. I don't agree. If it's about their face, so I don't get the difference between the face of an owl and the face of a cow, for instance. So why do they argue about the cow? And says the Gemara, no, the Rabbanon are not taking up Rabbi Meir's cause. The Rabbanon are saying that the face of an owl resembles a human face in more ways than just the fact that the eyes face forward. Actually, one of the striking features of the owl is that it has cheekbones. Over Yeshon Lissatot Ki Adam. So it doesn't have like a beak that sticks out. It appears to have cheeks. So it has eyes and cheeks, really weird. And therefore, since the lisatot go up and down, they're vertical like a human, they don't go horizontally like the animals. So the animals don't look human, even though their eyes may look human. But the owl definitely has a very strange and weird human look to it, which is universally recognized. Boy may Rabbi Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zera. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a behema b'mei isha is actually a vlad ma'alia, and the mother is t'mei aleda, and what would be the din? If the vlad is female, and her father was makabel kiddushin from someone for the baby, and the baby actually turns out to be an animal. Because, I mean, after all, the father could be makabel kiddushin for his child. What would be the din? Let's go, wait, can we be a little serious? Well, what's the difference? I don't understand. I mean, obviously, there's no point in this because this thing can't survive, right? So if it's not going to survive, who cares whether the Kedushin was Tafes or not? It seems to be a strange kind of question. No, the din would be litzrei ba'achota. Would you be mutter to marry the sister of this thing? What do you mean, the sister of this thing? So then you're saying it would survive? Lameber dechai? I mean, because if the sister dies anyway, it wouldn't be no gea, right? I thought, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amar Rav, lo Amar Rabbi Meir elahol b'mino mitkayem. The reason that Rabbi Meir was referring to these things, not that it can survive, but it survives if it is that species. But it can't survive as a human that looks like this species. So that anything which would be a violation of its own species wouldn't survive, Rabbi Meir wouldn't agree in. But nobody suggested that Rabbi Meir holds that these things survive as humans. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, you know, you guys can't take a joke, can you? I mean, you really think he meant this seriously? Look, if you're a student of Rabbi Zera, okay, he never smiles. So you're always trying. Can I get like some little giggle out of you? This was about as far as he got him to laugh in his life, but even this didn't work. But it's a little ridiculous to think he meant this seriously. So he was very machmer on the concept of osur lemalei schok piv b'olam hazeh, as long as the Beis HaMikdash is chorav and so on. So he was extremely serious. Kufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Getting back to the pshat that you just mentioned, Agav, I find that very fascinating. You said that Rabbi Meir only said that the reason that a behema chaya is tmeya leina is because as their own species, they would survive. It's holo b'mino mitkayim. Okay? Now, Omer of Yirmiyahu Midifti, we can actually prove this, I think. And Afananami Tanina, it's actually clear from the Mishnah. Because there the Mishnah is going through what is considered, who is considered to be a Bechor L'Nachala, who is able to get double in the inheritance from his father. And nonetheless, he's not considered to be a Bechor in terms of the Chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. So it says over there that if a woman is Mapelet Kamin Beima Chayav Va'Of, and afterwards she had a regular baby, so then that is considered to be the regular baby that's born afterwards, is not considered to be a Bechor in terms of requiring Pidyon HaBen. So in other words, because it's a Bechor that was born after another baby, and it's not a Peterech, I'm going to leave it to Rabbi Meir, it's really true that it's not a Peterech, but Bechor Legabe, the father, has nothing to do with being the Peterech. It's the first child that is a real child. But the Chachamim say that Ach Yebo Mitzurat Adam. So if you were Mapelet, Kamin Behemachayev Oof, then whatever is born afterwards is considered to be a firstborn Lagabe Pidyon Bechor as well. Hamapelet Sandal, if you have a miscarriage of a sandal is a twin where one of the twins didn't develop properly, and in fact, it comes out looking as if it just has a squashed face, doesn't have a fully articulated face. Or for that matter, someone is mapelet a shilya, and since we say ain shilya below vlad, there must have been a vlad, even though it wasn't detected, it got crushed, liquefied, whatever. Or a shvir mirukam, you have a sack, and it's filled with various types of organic-looking pieces of avarim, like sometimes you find in an egg, but we don't really see precisely what it is. Or hayotze mechutach, a vlad that comes out in little pieces and it's gotten bashed up. So the din is that over there, haba acharav is a bechor l'nachala, but not a bechor l'koin. Now, the question is, isakataitach, if you're going to tell me that a vlad that looks like a behema chayev ha'of could possibly live, then the first part of the Mishnah that we had doesn't make any sense. Because how is it saying that haba acharav bechor l'nachal? Why would that be? If l'maisa, this child, could survive, so then the one that's born afterwards is not considered to be the firstborn, because this vlad can survive. So you see, in fact, that it cannot survive. The only reason Rabbi Meir was taking it seriously as a vlad is because had it been an animal, it would have survived. That's the point. And that proves what it was that you were trying to say. So the Bechor is Naito Pishnayim, was born afterwards. Amarava, that's irrelevant. That doesn't prove a thing. Because even if this thing could survive, it would still not be considered to be a Bechor. Li'olam dechai, maybe it does survive. But Shanei Atam, over here, it's a completely different issue. Because when it comes to Bechor, the Pasuk says, Ki hu reshit ono, lo mishpat ha-Bechorah. So reshit ono means a lashon of onein. Misha libo dava alav. Somebody whose heart is sickened or saddened by this child's death. But if the father couldn't care less, so then it's not a Bechor. Even if it lives, it's not a Bechor. In which case, the second one to be born is the Bechor. And Yotzazeh, a vlad that looks like a cow, Ein libo dava alav, the father really hopes it drops dead. And therefore, it's not considered to be Bechor l'nirusha and does not affect the din of the Ba'ach Rav at all. The Rabbi Meir, the Amar Behema, B'mei Yisha Vlad Ma'ayon. According to Rabbi Meir, so he says that an animal is considered to be a human child. How about vice versa? How about a human born in the uterus of an animal? Adam bime'e behema. Let's say you shecht a behema, and you find in its uterus something that looks like it's human? What would be the halacha? Do we go according to the mother, or do we go according to what it looks like? And l'may nafkamina, as the Gemara, nafkamina would be, can you eat it? Ishtariya ba'achila. Can you eat this thing, since it was shechted, when the mother was shechted, it's part of the mother. And we darshan ba'behima, that kol sheba'behima is mutar ba'achila. Says the Gemara, well, forget about the question of whether it's a human. I mean, anyway, it's an irrelevant question, because tifshel lemi other Rabbi Yochanan. Why can't you just recognize that of course you can't eat it? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan shochet ta'behima matzabat mutiona. The Omer says, even if you would check an animal and find in it something that looks like a bird, it would also be osur ba'achila, because it is not similar to its mother. And therefore, the shechita of the mother is not going to be matirit. So it's not because it's human. That's not the point. Stam, it's not similar to its mother, and therefore it would be asur b'achila. Oh, no comparison, says the Gemara. Remember that the whole sugya, we had the sugya back in Chulin. Remember that the whole sugya that tells us what is considered to be a behema, legabi achila, is learned from the pasuk of Mafreset Parsa. So Mafreset Parsa, we learn out that any organism that has a parsa, as opposed to a claw, but has a foot, is considered to be kosher, even if it's not perasot, even if it doesn't have a split hoof. So it's a mutation where its foot came out whole instead of split, and the cleavage didn't work out. So over there, that's a yonah. Yonah is a claw. So therefore, the first case where it's not nothing, it doesn't have even a parsa. So hatam lo prasotika velo parsaika. Yonah has no similarity whatsoever to the din of parasot that are matir a behemah tahora. Therefore, it's osur b'achila because it's bichlal not in the same set of heter achila of the mother. But hacha, when it comes to a human may not have a split hoof. It doesn't have parasot, but he does have a foot. So parsa miyaika. And we learn that as long as there's a parsa that's found in the animal, it would be kosher in terms of an animal. So my question is, but is it an animal or is it a human? So that you haven't really answered. Continues the Mishnah, v'chachamim omrim, kol she'ein bo mitzurat adam, ein ovlad, we said. Om Reb Yirma bar Abba, Om Arav, hakol modim, chachamim and Rebbe Meir, are both moda that if it's formed to be an animal in its body, gufo is, let's say, a tayish, let's say it's a goat, and the face of this thing is human, upanav adam, it's the face that's definitive. And this is viewed as an adam. That wasn't the machloket between the chachomim and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is moda also to the chachomim, that if the goof is human, but the panav is a tayash, that's nothing. Lo nechleku, what we were arguing about was where the panav is like an adam, but not completely like an adam, but rather was nivra ba'ayin achat kibeba. He has one eye that looks like an animal, one eye that looks human. So Rabbi Meir holds Mitzurat Adam is an Adam, and the Chachamim hold only the entire Kol Tzurat Adam is an Adam. So therefore, the Meir is saying that's Metame, and the Chachamim is saying it's not Metame. Omar le Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. So they tie it to Rabbi Yirmiyah's approach. Doesn't it say exactly the opposite in the bright the Ipcha Tanya? Rabbi Meir Omer, that even if you have Kol Tzurat, if you have some little element, this is how Rashi learns, is Kitzurat Adam, which would mean that just the opposite. You have an entire face, which is the face of a Tayash, and only one eye like an Adam, not vice versa. They have one eye like a Tayash, an entire face like an Adam. And the Chachamim Omrim, even if you have Mitzurat, you have some partial element of the face, is Tzurat Adam, it's a din of an Adam. The opposite of what you said. Amar Lahu said, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, okay, then I give up. Itanya Tanya. Look, if that's the way you learned it, then learn it. I know that this is what I was makabel that Rav said, but if this is what it says in the Braita, or Mishnah, obviously you go according to what you were mekabelet. Now this is our Rashi. Now Tosfos points out that the Rashi doesn't really make sense according to what the Gemara is saying, because the Gemara says Atanya Ipcha. Ipcha means the opposite of what you said. But this isn't Ipcha. This is really very, very different from what you said. But it's certainly not the mirror image of what you said. I mean, here all of a sudden Rabbi Meir comes out talking about the other direction, really, which Rabbi Meir is saying that even if the entire face is not human, but one eye is human, then dinai ka adam. I mean, that was not something that we had discussed. So where does that get to be ipcha? So Tosfos therefore explains that it means literally ipcha. In other words, when Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir omer kol tzura, he means kol tzura. In other words, you need the entire face. That is to say, the two eyes and the cheekbones. And the reason for this is because, you see, if the entire thing would have been an animal, so then fine. Then you could say it says Yetzira, and we'll go with the Yetzira. But if it isn't the Yetzira to be the entire animal, then it has to be entirely Adam in the face. The Rabbanan say Mitzura. That means you can have some of the Tzura, even Chatzi of the Tzura, in which case it literally is the opposite. And then we're going to see that this, we get into all of this in a moment with the discussion of which parts of the face are included in all of the face, and therefore the continuing Gemara that discusses Rabbi Yochanan Shita about the forehead and the eyebrows and the eyes and so on and so forth, as we're going to see, that's going to be going Aliba to Rabbi Meir. And in fact, the Rabbi Nochanano has the Girsa that Rabbi Meir says, and what Rav originally said, Rabbi Meir omer kol tzurat, v'chachomim omrim mitzurat. And therefore the Braita reverses this. That's how Rabbi Chanan says. Okay, in any event, according to Rashi, we're obviously not going to be able to say that it means literally Tanya Ibcha. So according to the way Tosfos is learning, this next piece that we're about to begin, Om Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Ava, Om Rabbi Yochanan, actually defines what we mean by kol tzurat. So therefore, if she was mapila, a nefil, which is partially kitzurat adam, so then what we're saying is it's not considered to be tmei aleda. What we mean by kol tzurat is unless you've got the meitzach, which is the forehead, the gvinim, which is the eyebrows, the inayim, that's the shape of the eyes themselves, the lisatot, the cheeks, and you also need the gabot azakan, you need also a chin. So all of these things have to be kulam ke'achat. They all have to be together as a dmut adam. That's kol ha-partzuf. The only thing that's basically left out of here, as Rashi explains, is the ears. And the ears are not important. Rava Amar, the Rava quotes Chasa as saying that you only need one side of the face to be human. So it means the meitzach, one of the eyebrows, one of the eyes, one of the cheekbones, and one side of a normal chin. And that you need, that it should all be achu kulam kachat. It needs to be all on the same side. Not that you can put a little bit from here, a little bit from there. But lamais, you can get away with half of a face, as we saw in Batman. And actually, Rabbi Yirmiya and Rava, were not really arguing. V'lo pligit. Because they, when Rabbi Yirmiya bar Rava quotes Rabbi Yochanan, he was going to leave the mandiyama kol tzura that we had before. So that if you have a little bit that's an animal, then it's not another. And Rava b'shem Chasa was commanding Amar Mitzura. Okay. Meitve. Ask the Gemara. It says in the Brayta that Tzurat Panim Shamru, when the Chachomim say that you need to have a Vlad that has a Panim that is human, this is even if it's one element of a face. Afilu partzuf echad mina partzufim. As long as it's one element of a human shape, let's say that he's got one eye or he's got one cheekbone, all of those things are fine, but not an ear. An ear doesn't count. So if you have a face that is animal and an ear like a human, that's not going to help the din of imot me'alid. So apparently, even one thing is okay. And yet, we were quoting before that the very least that you would need is the idea of the chaytzi. Amar Abaye, no. When it's talking about over here, one, when we said before, even one parts of it's in the other direction. That's La'akev Tani. We're saying, even if one of these things is missing, it doesn't count. That's the point. Whereas if the ear is missing, then it's irrelevant. Because ears don't, we don't look at the extent of the ears, which is essentially exactly what we said before, except from the other point of view. What's missing instead of what do you have? Or, Iboy Tema, what we could say is that the Yoylam, the truth is, when it says Afilu Partsuf Echad, it doesn't mean one, it means one, one, one. In other words, let me describe for you one side of the face, one half of the face. That's what it means. So it means my Echad, 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 one of each of these things. One ayin, one leset, one and so on, one gvina, so that it's consistent with what we said, according to Mandi Omar, tzad echad. And that's all that this is saying. It didn't mean one thing. It meant one thing of each thing, instead of two things of the paired things. So that would be, okay. Omar Rava, a child that is born with ayin echad, so cycloped, or regal echad, he's got one foot. So if this eye is not a cyclop, meaning it's in the side, the other eye didn't develop, or there's one leg, the other leg didn't develop, that's okay. That's emotomea. But if it's literally a cyclop, so that it's in the middle of the forehead, or the leg is in the middle of the body, and it's not that one part of the symmetrical development didn't develop, it's that something completely different happened, that is not a mutation that's within the realm of the human at all, and it's not considered to be emo to mayavaleda at all. That's emo tohora. This is something that is completely not human. Well, marava, vishto nakuv emo to maya. If the esophagus has a hole in it so that it would lead to the outside, that is also considered to be tumat leida. Now, this is a little bit of a problem. The Rashi, the Mashmaut, is that this is Nogei, the question of whether Treifa Chaya or not. There are rayas that the Tumas Leda shouldn't be dependent on the din of Treifa Chaya. Let's just take it, Kipshuto of your Tufkat's train on the bottom part, the second part, which is Vishto Atum. If the esophagus doesn't lead anywhere, that's not considered to be a viable human. And therefore, Imo Tohora. What do we mean? We say a shapeless body. What is a shapeless body? What we mean is that it's missing so much of the organs of a normal body that if a living organism was missing all of this, it would not live. And what do we mean by that? What would it take to remove from a living body that it would just die? So Rabbi Zaka Omer, it's talking about if you remove, let's say, a foot ad harkuv, until above the knee. So he holds trefa in achaya, and that would be enough to create ein imot me'aleida, the pashtut what we had seen before. Rabbi Yanai Omer, it would have to be missing adlan ekavav, would have to be going all the way up to the genitals that it would be missing. Then, if he's like that, that's called eneyachol echyot. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Yosef ben Yehoshua says, if the leg would be missing all the way to the navel, ad makom tiburo, it would be eneyachol echyot, and then on that level of enimot meah leida. We will continue the shitot, Ezrat Hashem, tomorrow of Rabbi Zakkai, Rabbi Yanai, and the other shitot of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar.